Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome you to the Andrew Shatkin Show on every evening, Monday through Friday at 6:30 and 11 o'clock at times on Saturday and Sunday. And I usually introduce the parameters of where I aim and I'm concerned with in this show. And I want to say this, I'll say it again quickly, not to take up your time, because I'm not really that focused on self. I try not to be. I'm focused on ideas and thoughts and concepts, and not on self. Self is a vast waste of time, and in fact fits in the category of sin, which is concerned with self-adulation, self-love, for want of a better word. So let's take a look at, tonight we're going to talk about something called orthodoxy, or what are the parameters of the Christian faith. So I want to say this is a politically incorrect show. We're not concerned with media hype, with false values, with false thoughts, with media lies, or with anything like that, or political rhetoric. We reject those ideas. They're not ideas exactly. They're propaganda in the form and guise of being called thought, but they are not real thought in the least, obviously. They're an imposition on all of us as human beings who may, at times, in certain percentage of people, be fooled. However, the second thing is, more important, I am a Christian, and I am not changing that position in the least. I believe that Christianity is the true faith, and Jesus is the true God, man and God. And I'm not changing that position for any modern fad or whatever's current or whatever you feel comfortable with or happy with. I'd rather be uncomfortable with Christ than comfortable with lies. And so I do adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, which has been the position of the church for 2,000 years and will continue to be so. And I also adhere to the creeds of the church, the ancient creeds, Apostles, Nicene, and Athanasian Creed. And if I have a chance, with my limited time I have, I try to read the great books of Christian writers of the past. Most recently, C.S. Lewis and T.S. Eliot, but more often G.K. Chesterton and Hilaire Belloc and others, such as Augustine and Origen and Dante and, of course, Milton and G.K. Chesterton. These are just a few of the people that I treasure and love as thinkers and writers. Next, I run two radio shows. Both have a Christian orientation, a podcast show, which over 4,000 people have visited over the years and continue to do so, many from Muslim countries and from atheist and agnostic China. And also I have a blog talk radio show, The Presence Show, which has many visitors from countries all over the world on a regular basis. Also, I'm an author, a writer. I've written 10 books, and three of them are Christian books, Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, and a book on the parables. The book on Essays in the Christian Worldview has sold quite well to four Dutch universities and Marburg in Germany and Zurich, the public library in Zurich, Switzerland, among others, and many University of California college libraries, as well as many libraries in Louisiana and in Australia and in New Zealand. I have also written a book called Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy. It's been sold to two Harvey Lee universities, the Harvard and the University of Pennsylvania, and Harvard Divinity School has most recently bought my book on the parables. And I have posted all 41 of my interpretation of the parables on my website and on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. I also am posting the sayings of Christ on a gradual basis. I'm posting them on social media and on my website for edification of those who are interested in what Jesus has to say about things. I would assume you'll be interested. You might be. I would think that you're kind of deprived if you're not interested, if you don't care, if you only care about yourself, that's fine. That will lead you to degradation and destruction and darkness. There isn't that much in you and me to make it worth it, given our limited mortal thinking. So, that's as much as I want to say about myself. And tonight, I'm going to talk about something called... Now, this show concerns itself with certain topics. One of the major topics is literature, English and American literature, such writers as Jack London, T.S. Eliot, John Steinbeck and others, and Anthony Trollope, and many others I have written about in these columns. I also speak, write on politics and current events, as well as on religion and theology. Tonight, I'm going to talk a little about the very important topic of, and which is really vastly misunderstood, about what constitutes the Christian faith. I do this under the term orthodoxy. For many people, Christianity is a vague kind of a thing where Jesus was a very nice fellow, and we should be like him, and that's as far as they take it. Of course, he has much deeper and profound messages beyond his concern for being nice and friendly and kind, although these are obviously positive social qualities. They are not the message of Christ. And in fact, an English writer named G.K. Chesterton wrote a little book called Orthodoxy, in which he traced his journey to the Orthodox Christian faith. I want to talk about Orthodoxy tonight. And it has a bad tone because it implies the absolute truth of the Christian truth claim, and a whole host of absolute truth claims, which with the modern politically correct world is uncomfortable. People don't want to hear that today. They want to hear that all views are good, diverse is good. I guess diverse is good. I have nothing against people's racial composition, but people are sort of uncomfortable with claims of absolute truth, which Christianity and Chesterton believed to be so. And I think for many Christians today, ever since the Enlightenment in the 18th century, the Christian faith has been watered down. For many Christians, the confusion is so great, they're willing to believe that some sort of general love and tolerance constitutes Christian religious belief, or more to the point, that all religions are the same and it doesn't matter. I've heard people say that, and that's fine if they want to believe that. But that's not the Christian faith. If you believe that, then you have left the church, which is fine. Just be understanding that you have left it. You've left it elsewhere than in your life. I don't think Christianity is some sort of generalized love and tolerance. I think that's nonsense. It's misconceived and incorrect. So I want to talk about orthodoxy. Orthodoxy starts with certain concepts. One is the existence of a creator God. That's one. The second principle is the idea there's another world beyond our present material world. That's the second point. These are basic tenets of the Christian thought system. The existence of a creator God, a world beyond our present material world, the idea that God created the world and men and women, did so out of love, and the desire to share his being with men and women, his created children. So, that's the third thing. So, one principle is that there's a God that created nature. The second principle is there's another world beyond our material world. The third is that God created the world and did so out of love, to have people with him. The fourth principle of orthodoxy is that God revealed himself initially in the Hebrew Bible through a series of historical events, including the handing down of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, his covenant with the Jewish people that's still enforced to today, and his further revelation of the words of the prophets in the Hebrew Bible and other historical events too numerous to delineate. So that's the next one, that God has revealed himself in the Bible through a series of claimed historical events, including the handing down of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, his covenant with the Jewish people, present-day Israel, and that's still in force today, and his further revelation of the words of the prophets, and other historical events in the Hebrew Bible, too numerous to delineate. That's the fourth point that makes a Christian a Christian. The fifth point is the Bible is revealed word of God, and it's at least one of the ways in which we can come to know and understand him. So I've gotten down five elements of orthodoxy, of what it constitutes. You have to believe to be a Christian, which is that God created the world, that the existence of God. The second is a world beyond our present material world. The third is that God created the world and mankind and did so out of love and desire to share his being. And he revealed himself in the Hebrew Bible in a series of events, including the handing down of the Ten Commandments in Exodus, his covenant with the Jewish people, and his further revelation of the words of the prophets. The fifth element of Christianity is the Bible as a revealed word of God. It's how we come to know God. One way we come to know God. There are other things in connection with orthodoxy, the Orthodox Christian faith, including the revelation of his presence, of coming to the world in Christ, the virgin birth, the miracles in the New Testament, Jesus' death for our sins on the cross, his resurrection from the dead and ascension into heaven. So these are other elements that Christians sort of have to adhere to be a member of the church. So we have to believe that God revealed himself in Jesus of Nazareth, the virgin birth, miracles of Jesus, Jesus' death on the cross, and his resurrection and ascension into heaven. The sixth principle here is that the sacrifice of Christ was necessary on the cross to rescue men from sin and to repair our broken relationship. That's another tenet of orthodoxy that we should understand to be so, to be a member of the church, that the church has to articulate and state in no uncertain terms. The seventh principle of orthodoxy is God exists in a Trinitarian form, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the seventh principle of the Trinity, that God exists in threefold form and three persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The eighth tenet is that by faith in Jesus, he offers us eternal life. That's the eighth tenet. And there are other principles of orthodoxy, including the sacraments, such as baptism and the Lord's Supper, by which we come to know Christ. So the seventh principle of orthodoxy is that God exists in a Trinitarian form, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the eighth tenet is that by faith in Jesus, we may obtain eternal life. That's very important. There are other principles of orthodoxy, including the sacraments, such as baptism and the Lord's Supper. Those are two elements of it, by which we may obtain relationship with God and Christ and come to know God and Christ. The ninth and final principle of orthodoxy is that Jesus will return again to judge men, some to eternal death, unfortunately, and some to eternal life with him in heaven, and he will establish a new cosmic order. So these are the nine principles that I've just stated. I went through them quite fast, but I think you possibly got the point of them. And this is what makes the church the church, and it is what makes a Christian a Christian. A Christian is not merely a nice person. If that were so, then everybody would be that. Being nice or kind is a social quality. It is not a spiritual quality, really. It is a social judgment that which we have, which we in the world we do. We are nice because we want to get along with people. Now, then what I just said here is the Orthodox Christian faith. I will speak about further about this tomorrow when I have more time. And I'm able to complete this analysis of orthodoxy. I hope you've enjoyed it thus far, and I will have a few more things to say tomorrow night. I hope you've enjoyed this, and I will be speaking again tomorrow night, as well as during the day, on a number of issues, including the issue of race and class, and also the issue of race and class, which I'll speak about tomorrow on my video, and the issue of the different kinds of life, issue kinds of love, possibly in my radio show, or more likely I will speak about why we need a third party, which may be of more current interest. So I will tell you, we'll talk about those things tomorrow in the afternoon and evening. I welcome you always to listen to me, and I'm willing to listen to you, because I'm willing to listen to everybody and be benefited and informed. I don't choose to function in intellectual darkness, which is the present society in some ways. Night. Bye.